Dubai Eye
103.8. We are very much into November. And you know what November means? It means a variety of things here in the UAE. None more so, though, than all things design, because the Middle East leading design fair, Downtown Design, returns yet again in partnership with Dubai Design District D3 here in the UAE. It takes place later on this month, and we have none other than the director here in studio with us to tell us more. Fair Director of Downtown Design, Rue Kattari, joins us live in studio. Rue, always lovely to have you here on the show. Thanks so much indeed for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Look at that, Downtown Design. These things come back around so quickly, don't they? They often say, don't they, the time passes quicker here in the UAE. Is that something that you go along with? You've finished one fair and then all of a sudden it's upon us again.
Well, I think it's something to do with the weather. I think when you're back in the UK, for example, you have the seasons that help you mark time, whereas here it's sunny, sunnier and a bit too sunny. So I think it's then, you don't really notice the time passing. But I think with the job that we do, we're busy all year round. People often ask me, so what do you do for the rest of the year then? I say, well, actually, it's a big fair. Yes, it's a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight.
There's plenty of planning to look forward. So what can we expect this year? What's new about the fair this year?
Well, I mean, every year we grow and we make sure that we grow sustainably. And by that, I mean we grow, but not at the expense of the quality of what we present. This year, we'll have about 175 international brands. And for the very first time, we'll have a showcase called Editions that will focus on limited edition design. And that will actually give a platform to around 40 designers from the UAE itself and another 25, I think, to 30 from the wider Middle East region. So we are looking to be a more meaningful platform for regional design to help instigate growth in our own design industry.
A number of exhibitors coming in from far afield, a number of international experts as well. Is that something that you've seen grow in recent years as the reputation for design here in the region grows?
Absolutely. I mean, we are now established as a hub for design in the Middle East. And I think as traditional economies that have always kind of produced, designed, manufactured design are, you know, feeling the effects of political upheaval or, you know, economic troubles, they're now looking further afield to Asia for opportunities to develop their markets and to sell their product. And, you know, here it's fairly untapped. There's a lot of development, a lot of growth, but there aren't that many brands in comparison to the UK or you know, to Italy, for example. So there's a huge opportunity here.
What role does or has D3 played in that sort of changing of mindset as well? Is it, I mean, you mentioned as Dubai, the UAE as being something of a design hub at the moment for the region and further afield. To have a hub within a hub like D3, does that also feed into it?
Yeah, I mean, look, it helps that D3 are essentially the ecosystem for the design industry. And it helps to have a focal point for design here. They obviously have a strong reputation both regionally and internationally. And I think to give what we do a context, it's essential. So, I mean, there is nowhere more appropriate for Downtown Design to, you know, showcase the best of international and regional design than in a design hub that's created for the very purpose to help, you know, support, nurture and instigate growth in the region's creative economy.
Mm. Mentioned a little earlier on, more than 175 exhibitors. It's going to be the largest to date this year's edition, expanding in size year on year, following the fair's rapid growth over recent times. We've seen that from those that are involving themselves, those that are coming over to exhibit, those that are showing their latest creations here. What about Joe Blogs out there, the general public as well? Is it an event that you want people to come in regardless of their understanding of design?
Absolutely. And I think there's a, you know, design is very different to art.
Yeah.
I mean, art can sometimes appear a little elitist. There's a lot of elitist language that you have to decipher in order to, I suppose, understand art. And people feel slightly, you know, intimidated by art as a subject. Design is actually universal. Design is the design of the studio, the chair you're sitting on, the car you drive, the Wi-Fi you connect to, the city you live in, the community you connect to. All of these things are a product of design. And, you know, Downtown Design itself, yes, it shows products, but we also have 6 large-scale installations. We have an indoor landscaped garden. We have lots of features that are, you know, you can experience viscerally if you like. So your average person doesn't need to know a single thing about design or have, you know, gone to and done a design degree or anything of that nature. You can come down and actually enjoy beautiful things. And with editions, our limited edition showcase, that's for your average person to come and find unique products for their home that may be designed by local designers. So it's more culturally relevant for them. You know, it's somewhere to go and buy and see and learn and be inspired and enjoy. And I think that's for everyone.
We've got the Fair Director of Downtown Design in studio with us. Rukhtar is here with us, and we're working through some of the stories that have caught her eye. One from CNN. Good design is good for business, says a new study. Is that the case in your mind as well, Ru?
Absolutely. I think now that, you know, the commercial landscape has become more competitive, businesses are looking for that edge to, you know, whether it's for their product, you know, the way that they deliver their service, whether it's technology, whether it's innovation, they're looking for a design solution to give them a competitive advantage. And according to this report done by McKinsey, they said the growth in terms of revenue for companies who invest in design is 70% higher than the ones that don't. So while, you know, we can talk about the fact that good design means good business. Now there's a report to substantiate that.
What, when we say that, though, are we talking about the sort of the physical environment around us, or does it go further than that?
I mean, it absolutely can start with the physical environment around us. I mean, you know, we were talking about how nice your newly designed studio is earlier. And actually, I think the, you know, investing in a good working environment will make your employees A, more productive, B, much happier to come into work. You know, I think it was Diwa that have just had their offices redesigned, and they've used, you know, things like principles of biophilic design. They've used lots of different elements like texture, lighting and color, breakaway areas for, you know, so that employees can have creative discussions and workshops. Lots of natural light, not too much air conditioning. You know, actually controlling an environment so that employees are happier and work better.
Because I've often reported and talked about that, the elements like sick office syndrome and things like that, you know, and when offices become a little bit tired, then employees within that office environment can also get sort of dragged down as well. And it's interesting you mention here the new designs here. We've had quite a few guests come in for the very first time here. And who was it the other day? Gaurav came in a couple of weeks ago to do a slot on the radio. And he was, Gaurav Sinha, he was talking about how he got office envy. You know, so I love this new sort of the setup, and you're all under the same roof and got a bit of office envy. I wonder if that is something as well, that people get inspired by other office spaces that they walk into.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you're proud to work somewhere and you walk into work and the environment you think reflects the level of work that you're doing, that will surely feed into your levels of satisfaction when you're, you know, with your employer, you know, how much your employer is investing in making you happy.
So is that going to have an impact on stress as well, individual stress, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, it's simple things like ergonomic design. Are you sitting in a chair that's comfortable with a PC at the right height? You know, do you have the right kind of lighting? A lot of offices have very strong fluorescent lighting. It's incredibly bad for your eyes and it tires you out. And there's not enough natural light, for example. But also, you know, working in an environment that is kind of fun and, you know, it kind of takes the drudgery and the monotony out of, you know, going into a workspace, for example. And I don't know about you, Tom, but I have worked in an environment that looked like it was designed in the early 80s with, you know, a giant floor full of pigeonholes. I mean, that couldn't inspire less, you know, creative thinking if it tried. So, I mean, anything as far away from that kind of design solution is a winner.
And do you think the decision-making process for design of an office space or a work environment, is that becoming more senior level decision now rather than, because in the past it always someone else used to take care of that, didn't it? It was either a consultant or someone mid-management. Do you think it's a lot more to the fore now in terms of the betterness of the entire brand and the company?
Look, I think people are generally more aware of the contribution that design makes in every area.
Okay.
And with a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of movement at the moment in Dubai with people changing offices. And of course, you know, there's a lot of investment now in corporate refits. So people going into new office spaces, senior management, when they understand that a well-designed office will help their bottom line, you know, ultimately it's a sensible investment.
Thank you very much indeed to Chris. Chris has been in touch saying this. Hi, I think even indoor plants have become a crucial part of the office decor nowadays, both to pep up the office as well as help to negate any negative effects. Is that the case at the moment? Is that one of the trends that's doing the rounds?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's less of a trend and more of something that has been done traditionally, and now we're kind of post-rationalising the thought on it. But I think there is an actual science behind having certain types of plants that then don't suck up the oxygen but are actually beneficial to have around you.
Yeah. A couple of articles that you've selected for us for today as well. There's another one that caught your eye from Egypt today. Design workshop at co-working space over in Cairo, bringing together participants from different backgrounds and professions. This is to do with the social impact of design, is it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a really little story in Egypt today, but I think it illustrates a much more important point, which is how design can be used to help affect social change, improve communities, deliver services in places where people perhaps aren't connected to their communities, and actually how design industries from around the world can come in and help emerging communities and cities to create systems that will help the inhabitants of that place. So, for example, in this story, a group of experts from Parsons School of Design, which is one of the leading design schools, actually went to Egypt to help the local designers with designs that would help, instigate more social change in their communities. And I think this is really important. It's something we see on a different scale here. We bring a lot of expertise, for example, into the UAE to help master plan our communities, to help understand how we deliver services to those communities and how you actually would live in an environment in a healthy and beneficial way. And I think this is extremely important. And we don't see this. I mean, it's all around us, but we're not necessarily aware of it or the benefits of it.
Is that one of the sort of, again, I don't like using this word trend or something like that, but is that something that you're seeing as a recurring theme at the moment? Given the fact that technology is such a part of our lives at the moment, in everything we do throughout every minute of the day, we are sort of reliant on technology. Is design becoming more reliant to incorporate technology into design at the moment?
I mean, it's all part and parcel of the same thing, essentially. So, for example, if you're looking at communities in Africa that have no access to fresh water, what young designers are now focusing on are solutions to help address world economic problems that come down to things as small as this. It's like, how do children in remote villages in Africa access clean water?
Yeah.
And in this way, designers are harnessing innovation and technology to deliver solutions that have amazing and wide-ranging effects.
It's interesting you mentioned. I mean, I was having a good old first world moan over the weekend as well. We were doing a bit of a staycation. We're down at a rugby tournament down in Abu Dhabi, so a load of us went down and stayed in a hotel in Abu Dhabi. It wasn't the most ideal of experiences, and I tell you why it just got really frustrating, because I think we've got so used to convenience.
Yes.
And the design of convenience, or the convenience of design as well. And when that convenience is taken away from you, and that sort of element of common sense and practicality, and not being able to get onto Wi-Fi when you want to, and having to queue to check in and check out, and just having sort of obstacles put in front of you from a design perspective, it just felt so old-fashioned and out of its ways. And I suppose that's something we've become used to, because you look at a lot of the modern approaches to hotels and the way hotels have been designed at the moment and the spaces there. It's all about that sort of getting you from A to B as quickly and conveniently as possible.
But I don't think design is something you just fling onto a project because it seems like a good idea. Good design, you don't notice. You know, it's like the perfect lighting in a restaurant. It's intuitive. For example, I mean, one of my pet peeves is going into a hotel room and having a NASA style board of buttons that you have to try and navigate to work out how to close your curtains. Yeah. That is bad design. Good design is, oh, there's a switch right next to my light. When I flick it, it turns the light on and off, not it then turns the shower on and off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these things, you know, that's good design. Your experience is, you know, it's bad design. And I think the amount of money, for example, that, you know, F&B outlets and, you know, hotels invest in design to create this special experience for all of us spoiled residents of the UAE.
Yeah.
It's wasted money if the effect isn't that you've had a better time because of it, but you don't even know why.
Yeah. It was just one of those things that sort of struck me. And I mean, I was reading a number of articles this morning, and there's a lot of chat about design at the moment and how hotel brands and hotels are now approaching the whole thing of not having manned check-in and check-out desks.
Yes.
You know, trying to put more of the onus on you and to do things online, and you come in and you've done it. And yet we still have that thing, don't we? We're sort of queuing around for half an hour after having to try to check out because there's a queue of everyone checking out at the same time.
But I think what's happened now in an increasingly digitalized, you know, technology-driven age is that we are now harking back to a bit of analog. Like, you know, vinyl factories have produced more vinyl records in the last 12 months than they have done in the last 12 years. People want to shoot on Polaroid. People want a human experience. So as much as design and technology is very important, it shouldn't replace the human experience. It's two very, very different things. And I think we are seeing a backlash, and millennials, surprisingly, are the ones that are driving that.
Yeah.
Is us old timers that remember it the first time round. I mean, it's people who are sick of living in a digital environment 24/7.
Which is interesting because it sort of bleeds into your next story as well, a piece from Gulf News about the AI highway, as it's now being dubbed as well, the artificial intelligence and the relentless progress of artificial intelligence, which might worry some people. But as you rightly say, I mean, that's all good and well, but there has to be that human element along the way.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's brilliant that Dubai is championing all of this new technology. And I think that it definitely has a place. I mean, they're doing everything from driverless transport, the customer service is going to be AI, the traffic management will be AI. I mean, not forgetting, you know, that the Dubai Metro is the longest driverless train track in the world. And there's a lot of investment in making sure almost our infrastructure is being controlled without people. But I think, you know, I still come from a generation where I would feel safer in the back of a car if I knew somebody's hands were on the wheel. And it's not because I'm a massive Luddite, because I'm not. It's just, I think certain things that I would miss, like chatting to the taxi driver in the car, you know, talking to someone when you know, your services aren't working and you call up the helpline and all you get is a random, you have to keep pressing numbers and then you get cut off. Sometimes you just want to speak to a person. Yeah. And I think you can't get away from that. It's going to feel more like a luxury in the future that we get to interact with other people, not with things that have been pre-programmed to anticipate what we apparently need. I think human beings are a lot more complex than that.
I couldn't agree more. And again, there's something that we were discussing over the week. You know, this common trend at the moment for live chat. So when you can't get your complaint in by traditional means, or your emails or the text message or whatever, okay, let's set up a live chat area. But then obviously the live chat doesn't work as well. And it's like, well, why can't we just have a chat? Why do we have to have a live chat? Why can't I just give you a call? Or guess what? Why don't I give you my phone number and you give me a call? I'm after all the one that subscribed to your service. So
absolutely,
why can't you just do me the common courtesy of giving me a call?
But I don't know about you. I actually now will not send an email because I find a lot of people, you're sitting in the same office as them and you want to ask a question, you send them an email.
Yeah.
I actually will either get up, walk over and sit in front of that person and ask them the question, or if it's someone in another building, I will pick up the phone. And it's A, so much more time efficient. Have we forgotten how useful the telephone is?
Yeah.
And B, you build up a rapport with that person. Actually, ultimately, the results of that conversation, if it's a business negotiation, are much more efficient and much more effective because you're two human beings trying to sort something out. It's not, you know, 50 emails over the space of 2 days. So I think remembering the fact that analog actually works is a good thing.
There's one more story as well that we need to get to, and it's this story that you picked up from The Guardian, Rue. We've been talking about design, we've been talking about technology, we've been talking about AI, and this one we're talking about shopping in the Instagram age. Tell me more.
I'm a little bit obsessed with retail design.
Yeah.
It does sound a bit dry, doesn't it? But actually it's not. And I think it's especially relevant because high street retailers are all bemoaning the demise of the traditional kind of retail high street shopping experience.
Yeah.
Because people are going, well, no, I'd rather stay at home, you know, in bed, scroll through my, you know, my feed and buy stuff online. And I, you know, I researched this because I found it really interesting. And actually, you know, I think that retail needs to reinvent itself in the same way that publishing has had to do, in the same way that the music industry has had to do, to become relevant to a whole new generation of consumers that want to do things differently.
Mm.
And I picked up on this story in The Guardian because it's all about Thomas Heatherwick, who's a famous designer from the UK,
yeah,
being brought in to create some kind of Instagram-worthy architectural features in a new shopping complex that's being built as part of the huge King's Cross redevelopment. And I think, yes, you know, it's funny that Guardian have picked up on that one point about it being Instagram-friendly, but I think it's all about retailers understanding how to create a point of difference with a physical shopping experience as opposed to shopping online. Yes, you know, if you shop online, you get stuff cheaper, it's delivered to your house, it's all about convenience. Actual physical retail shopping is all about the experience. So things like, you know, Instagram-worthy moments are essential. You know, being able to communicate the DNA of your brand through the design of your experience. And it's not just about coming in and rifling through racks of clothing, because you can do that online.
Mm.
It's about engaging with the brand and, you know, providing the consumer with a reason to connect with your brand in,
yeah,
a way that's much more ephemeral than just, I like this top, have they got it in a size 10?
It's interesting you say that. And it is that sort of almost, you know, basic, or going back to basics, isn't it? Because what did we have last week? We had Public Transport Day, when a lot of people were encouraged by the RTA to ditch the car the car at home, use public transport. And it was an encouragement for people to think about the services of public transport, think about the environment, to go a little greener on the day. But the other thing that they used, and I hadn't thought of it along that way, was that they aligned it with Dubai Fitness Challenge this week and said, look, getting onto the metro is actually better for you, because, you know, you're going to have to run for a metro and you have to walk from the metro station to wherever, etc. So it's getting you active, and it's better than just slumping into a car with a massive cup of coffee in the morning and sitting in traffic for however long you need to, until you get to your parking space and then waddle upstairs to your desk.
Absolutely.
And from what you've just been saying there as well, I suppose that's one of the elements that physical shopping spaces have, doesn't it? Because you've got to get off your backside to go to the shop. So therefore, you are leading a more active life.
I think it's about how to incentivize tomorrow's consumer. Because we're not, you know, for example, the people that go shopping now, it's not about buying stuff conspicuously for the sake of having stuff. You know, they're looking for experiences. They're looking for something that makes them, you know, that reflects their individuality. And all of these things aren't necessarily delivered by the old school kind of department store solution to shopping. I mean, millennials don't really connect with that. It's more about, well, what does this brand say about me? Do they produce their goods ethically? Are they environmentally conscious? You know, do they reflect my lifestyle? So it's not about being, you know, really, really showy and flashy, but about quality and durability and all of the values that the new generation of consumers really hold dear and prioritize. That's what retailers need to address, not us who are, you know, probably shopping less and less, more likely to do it online. So it's a rethink of what brands need to give the consumer to get them back onto the high street or into the malls.
I love the fact that, this idea of Insta spots as well, you know. So that's the thing, isn't it? I noticed it as well. We do a show up at Barresti on a Saturday, a sports show here on Dubai Eye, and recently they've put up these great signs everywhere, Insta spots, you know. So they've worked out places that people can get great views and great backgrounds, etc., for those Insta spots. And so that is, I suppose, is also one of those reasons for people to break out of their four walls and their e-commerce sites and go out and about to try and create something online on your profile?
Well, I'm going to be a bit more cynical here and say that it's actually so that people who develop projects can get free publicity. And it makes complete sense. I mean, I'm often a judge on, you know, interior design or architecture awards. And actually, you know, I found that more and more architects and interior designers are building Instagram worthy elements into their projects, whether it's a restaurant, a hotel, or a leisure resort. They're actually designing for Instagram within those projects, because of course people now don't want to just experience, they want to let everyone know that they've experienced it. And the more Instagram worthy your project is, the more publicity you're going to get. It's a no-brainer.
Really appreciate your time this morning. Some great stories, some great food for thought as well from Rue this morning. Rue, all the best. I know it's a busy time for you ahead of the festival. The fair is coming to town. What are the dates for Downtown Design this year?
It's the 13th to the 16th of November at the Dubai Design District.
And people, if they want to find out more, what's the best way for people to...
If they get onto downtowndesign.com and pre-register, they'll be able to attend for free.
Okay, so perfect. Get yourself down there. And is it just down at D3 this year, or is it all over the city?
Downtown Design is just at D3. And the majority of the Design Week, which is the context within which Downtown Design is held, is mostly in the Dubai Design District, with a few kind of pop-up concepts, etc., around the city.
Lovely to have you in studio. Thanks so
My
much
pleasure.
Indeed. All the best with the fair this year. We look forward to talking about it a lot in the coming weeks as well. But for now, Fair Director, Downtown Design, Rue Qatari, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.